most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Number two of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. It's Rivalry Thursday. We're here at Gatlinburg-Pittman High School, where tonight it's Gatlinburg-Pittman against Austin East. And Jimmy, we're now joined by a longtime friend of the program and just a longtime friend.
We are, and that is Charles McCray, a product of Clinton. And he was on that Tennessee team in 1989 that won an SEC championship and will be honored this Saturday. Charles, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, it has been a while. Good to hear from you again. I want to take you back to that 1989 season because the year before the team was 0-6, and I think you were playing nose guard. Won the last five games that year. How much optimism was there going forward in 1989? In part because you won the last five the previous year.
You know, we had a saying. You know, remember what you do in November, and you know, in my role in that, you know, winning those five games was nothing. I think I played actually like eight plays the remainder of the season because I'd torn my ankle up pretty bad before the Alabama game. But, you know, the team went out there and played real well. It was a tremendous transition on defense with that Dave Matthews transition. Really turned the team around and turned the program around, you know, that season. And we came out the next year and let's face it, nobody really thought we were that good. Okay. And, you know, we played Colorado State, you know, who knows what their record was, but to a 17-14 win there. And then we played in the Rose Bowl and beat number six UCLA, and that was, like I say, one of the highlights. Like, literally, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. That game was just phenomenal, and we were so fired up going to UCLA, and that was what really, you know, kicked us off into a long run of success, you know, after that Rose Bowl game and not being the tune-up for the Pac-10 conference schedule for UCLA.
Well, and I remember that game very well. Sterling Hinton had a good game. The running backs had a good game. You and Anton Davis anchored a very good offensive line. I was trying to remember, did they end up putting you guys on the same side of the line and running some plays?
We did that a fair amount that year. I don't remember whether we did that particular game. You know, it's funny the plays that stick out. You know, the one that I remember the most is, you know, we threw an interception. And Chuck Webb went down there and just exploded the defensive back. And it was that interception was one of the best plays of our game. And it just set the whole tone for the football game.
Well, and I also recall after that game, there were a good 10,000 Tennessee fans there. And I remember the football team going down there to salute the fans that had made the trip to Pasadena to cheer you guys on.
Yep, sang Rocky Top in the corner.
Yeah.
What was it like you to go ahead?
No, you go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, what was it like? I mean, not only at the University of Tennessee, but in the NFL, just to travel, see all the sights you saw, and play in the venues you did, considering the growing up in Clinton.
You know, the University of Tennessee and the football program has been a tremendous, you know, change in my life. You know, I'm the first member of the family to go to college. You know, an opportunity that may not have presented itself without football, and I've been able to go, you know, all over the country and see, you know, tremendous sights in all of them. I've played in almost every premier venue in the entire country, and it's been, you know, it's been phenomenal to see all that and play against some great players. You know, played against Howie Long and Reggie White and, you know, Cornelius Bennett and some of the greats that, you know, from my era. It's hard to say that now, the era. I'm getting old.
Yeah, we're ahead of you in that. But, Charles, when you go back to look at that, how different was the feeling at the start of 89 after you guys survived 88?
You know, it's hard to remember. I mean, we had a lot of excitement. Everybody was really excited. We had a great spring. You know, there was a lot of optimism. There's a lot of optimism every game, every year. But, you know, how would things have changed if we'd have lost that Colorado State game? Did we have just, like, the perfect opponent to really start the season off with somebody that was – Colorado State had been relatively good back then, and, you know, it was a good test for us. You know, but, you know, once we got ahead of steam and really got going, I mean, there was definitely a feeling that we couldn't be beat. And unfortunately, we did lose a game, but it was, you know, we did quite well once we got that head of steam rolling.
Charles, and I guess Charles McCray on that 1989 team that won the SEC that'll be honored at the Tennessee-Mississippi State game. I remember after the Colorado State, I wasn't sure how good you were either. UCLA convinced me you were pretty good, but you also had a couple of guys that had redshirted the previous year. You won't see that now, but you had Chuck Webb. You had Carl Pickens. They joined forces, and they were outstanding football players that also helped that team in 89, weren't they?
Oh, no, that's absolutely correct. And you know, and I don't know what now those players almost always are playing. You get somebody like a Chuck Webb or a Carl Pickens, they're playing as a true freshman, right? I don't think there's a lot of debate there, but you know, the decision was made that, hey, we need to hold these guys back in reserve and get them bigger and stronger and faster. Not that Pickens probably got much faster. And, you know, that worked out really well for the team in 89 when they did come back and were ready to go.
We talked about the UCLA game and how big that was. Charles, was there another game that year that Tennessee won that you thought, okay, this could be very special? And I wonder maybe if it was the first SEC game against Auburn or some other game that season.
Yeah, that Auburn game was, really an amazing up-tempo game. Obviously the one the following year, it was that one there. That was the one that was in the rain for like three quarters
yes.
of the game.
That's right.
Yeah, and Auburn was ranked number four. So now we've knocked off the number six team in the nation, the number four team in the nation. You know, we beat Georgia, in a great win. You know, we had a lot of momentum going forward, and then you know, we laid an egg in Alabama, and still, you know, had a real competitive game there. But the other one that was that game in Baton Rouge with the Tigers was an absolute firefight, right? I mean, it was up and down the field, a tremendous all. And Carl Pickens, I think, ran the opening kickoff of the second half back for a touchdown.
Yep.
And you know, like I said, that one was back and forth, and just like I say, a brutally hard fought game. You know, and then once you get past that, there's a little bit of cruising going on when you get into, you know, we had Akron, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. You know, we cruised through the end of those, into that season, even though, you know, Vanderbilt always played his stuff back then. But you know, we had a real, I mean, that was a very stiff group of opponents.
I remember the defense not being extremely talented, and I thought Doug Matthews did a great job with them. There were three games where the defense didn't play well, in my opinion. One was Alabama, one was LSU, and one was Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss only got 21 points, but they had a ton of yards. I thought other than that, the defense played really well. And you had the bowl game in Arkansas, got a lot of yards. But I thought Tennessee got a lot out of a defense that just really didn't have a lot of star power. What do you remember about that?
Yeah, but, you know, think of some of the guys you had on there that were the young players that you had on that team. You had Todd Kelly. You had Chuck Smith. Lincoln. Jeremy Lincoln. There were some really good players on that 89 defense. Hardy Nickerson, not Hardy Nickerson. Wait a minute, Daryl Hardy. Hardy Nickerson's in Tampa.
yeah. I mean, there was some... Hardy somebody.
yeah, Hardy Nickerson would have been good to have as well. But Ernest Fields. You know, there's some really good players on that. Shazon Bradley. So there's some really talented players on that 89 football team on the defensive side. But they were all really young, right? But, you know, he got him to play. He got him to come up the field and attack. And, you know, hey, I don't take offense. I was on that defense that wasn't worth a darn in the first half of the 88 season, right? And a lot of it was just a change in mindset with regards to the way the football game had changed over time. And the defensive structure and philosophy we had at the first half of the 1988 season was not going to be successful with the talent they had on the defense in 1988.
Charles, what was it like to finish your time at Tennessee with back-to-back SEC championships?
You know, that refer to it on a regular basis. You know, I still have the Sugar Bowl championship ring to show off and carry around, and you know, something that you get to take with you for your lifetime, and things that can't be ever taken away. And it was a tremendous time. You know, there's nothing like running out through that tee. It's an amazing experience, and I've got to stand in the tee one time since. I think in 2003, I got to go out there with my oldest son and be in the tee, and it's nearly as impressive just not even being a part, just being a bystander and watching it, as it is to actually run through it.
Have you had a chance to watch much Tennessee football this year? And do you see any similarities between what you guys were going through in 88 as far as what this team has also encountered?
Well, you know, it's a young football team. And, yeah, I've got to watch it. I've got season tickets. So I'll be there Saturday as well. And, you know, it's hard to watch. You know, we want to see our team be successful. And, you know, there's been a lot of changes in the program, and it takes time and it takes, you know, dedication to, you know, work through those. And you know, we're not going to fix this. We didn't get this program in this position quickly, and we will not recover it overnight. We've got to have, you know, confidence, and we've got to have stick-to-itiveness, as one of our coaches used to say, to make sure that we – because if we just keep changing and changing and changing, we're never going to improve. You know, doing that is just hoping for luck. And what we need is a strategy, and we need, you know, to get behind our team and get behind our coach. And they are going to improve, and they are getting better. And I think we saw that last week. And we've got to keep it up as the SEC now. It's big boy football, and they've got to get better and better each week, and they got to be able to play and take the fight to them for the entire 60 minutes.
Charles, you've got a son that's playing up in Ohio, pretty good offensive lineman. Tell us about his progress.
Yeah, he's doing well. He came off a rough offseason midway through the year last year. They lost their high school football coach. It was coach was suspended and eventually replaced, and so the program was pretty much in disarray for 9 months. But they're 3-3 this year so far. They play this tomorrow night. But he's a 6'6", 300-pound right tackle. You know, really athletic kid, and is doing real well. Does a great job at school. Doesn't get in any trouble. You know, nothing. I mean, he's everything you would hope for in a son. You know, a good football player. Throw shot put. He's each year as a sophomore, then as a junior, he keeps resetting the school shot put record as well. So he's a multi talented athlete, and was running the 100 meter on the freshman team just a couple of years ago.
Wow.
You got to see that video sometime. It's quite it's entertaining to watch this man, this giant amongst a bunch of children.
I would say so. So how difficult is it to watch from the stands your son compete compared to what it was like on game day for you, whether it be Tennessee or the NFL?
It's difficult not being close enough where you can hear me yell. you know, when they're playing high school soccer or baseball or flag football, you can get in there and get it and mix it up. But you know, with high school football, you got to stand back and watch and let the coaches coach and let the players play, and that's you know, that's not my role in this, is to be supportive of him and try to encourage him as much as possible, and let the people that are, quite frankly, I'm sure much better at that than I am, because, you know, just because you can play football doesn't mean you can coach football.
Charles, what does Tennessee have planned for the 89 SEC championship team this weekend?
Well, I mean, they're going to be recognized on the field during the game, and then there's just some social events for the players and the administrators to get together. There's a dinner Friday night. I unfortunately won't make it dinner Friday night, but there's a dinner Friday night, and then tailgating activities, and then I'm sure everybody will be down at the T Club room for the Letterman in the corner of the end zone, and then later out on the field, and then tickets for the players so they could, you know, and hotel accommodation opportunities and so forth, so they can get into town and make this a reality.
Chuck Webb going to be there?
I don't know. Recently got connected with him on Facebook, and I don't know whether he'll be able to make it or not.
Okay. Hey, Charles, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on that 89 season, and hope you enjoy this weekend.
All right. Thank you very much, and I appreciate you bringing us on. I appreciate all of our Tennessee fan support out there.
You got it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Charles.
All right. Thank you.
That's Charles McCray, a former outstanding offensive lineman at Tennessee, a top 10 NFL draft pick. Well, he and Anton Davis came out. That was rare to see two offensive tackles on the same team taken among the top 10 picks, as that 1989 SEC championship team will be honored tomorrow. I mean, Saturday.
And he's part of the, I think we'd have to go through the Jimmy Himes media guide. Is he not one of your former co-hosts for Football Finals?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It was actually Sunday Sports Sound Off.
Okay, Sunday Sports Sound Off.
Yeah.
I knew it was one of the two.
Yeah.
But always appreciate his insight on the game, the way he breaks it down. And so it's great to hear from Charles and also get caught up.
Yeah.
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. 656-9900 is how you join us. 656-9900 puts you on Sports Talk.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
It has to be a real big woman.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Talk continues. Rivalry Thursday. We're here at Gatlinburg-Pittman, where tonight it's the Highlanders against Austin East.
And we're pleased to be joined by a couple of folks involved with Pedal for Alzheimer's. We had them on last week making that 1,098-mile bike trip from Knoxville down to Florida. And we're now joined by Sarah Mitchell, who is the director. Sarah, how are you?
Hey, guys. We're good. We have finally, after 12 days of pedaling, made it to Daytona Beach, Florida.
How did it go?
It was awesome. My view was a little bit different than the team who put in all of the miles on a bike, but super, super strong group, strong support team, and we literally had the time of our lives.
Did you find that you had a lot of support along the way?
We did. We had so many different really cool situations and experiences with people coming up to different nutrition breaks. You know, the team stopped for a water refill every 25 miles, and we were going about 100 miles every day throughout the 12-day trip. So at nearly every single break, people would see the branding on the side of support cars or the jerseys the team rolled up. It's amazing to hear people are impacted by Alzheimer's and even their family members share experiences and stories. It was phenomenal.
Well, congratulations on another incredible effort. What was this year like compared to previous? Did you have great weather?
Surprisingly, yes. And I have one of the founder and cyclist, Josh Crisp, here, and he had the view from a bike, so he got to experience all of that. In fact, he just told me, man, you should have felt the sand and the wind. The wind was really, really bad today from Jacksonville to Daytona Beach, 100 miles. But the other days, we couldn't be more thankful for sunshine. For the first time in the three events that we have put on, the 12-day events, we did not run into a hurricane. So we're extremely grateful for no rain this entire trip.
Sarah, is Josh with you? Josh Crisp?
Yeah, so I'm here, guys. How are y'all?
Yeah, well, we're doing great, Josh. Just tell us your experience about how you feel like this run went for the Pedal for Alzheimer's.
Well, it was amazing. Every year is a different team and a great experience. We were blessed with some great weather, but as you guys know, the Southeast has had some record temps, and we were in those record temps. So we had an awesome support crew that was keeping us hydrated. That was really the key ingredient in keeping us fueled over those grueling days. We had a tough battle with the wind coming into Daytona today. We had about 100 miles, and the whole way we were facing some stiff winds that were blowing the sand in our face all day. So it was kind of like being sandblasted. So we couldn't have been more grateful to see that big finish arch and so many that came out here in Daytona Beach to support us as we came through the finish line. So, yeah, super great trip.
Josh, how many miles did you pedal?
So we actually ended up, I guess we're overachievers. We sought out to do 1,098 and we just went over 1,098, a little over 1,100 miles. I was with the team the whole way pedaling, and trust me, I can feel it on day 12.
How much money did you raise?
Right now we have raised just over already $50,000. We haven't been able to count everything. It's still coming in, really by the hour. We are actually keeping the fundraising open and fundraising hard through the end of the year for this. As you guys are probably aware, we've already given away multiple $1,000 grants along the way, which yesterday was one of those highlights where we got to stop in a senior living community and do that as well. So we hope to raise even more money.
Josh, doing this as you have each time out, and to know and see how this grows with its reach and impact, and just the show of support for those that perhaps are in a caregiving situation to someone with Alzheimer's, what is that feeling like 1 year to the next to see the finish line and to have done this yet again?
It's really special. You know, the encouraging words that we get from the families, the caregivers, the people that are working in the communities, and people that are caring for their loved ones at home, it gives us a sense of encouragement and lets us know that we're on the right path, that we're doing some things to carry on the legacy of the legendary coach, Pat Summitt, who did such a selfless act in taking the fight to Alzheimer's and doing some things to carry her legacy forward. So just like Pat would do it, taking her reach far beyond Knoxville and the University of Tennessee, that's what we're trying to do, to just carry that torch.
Well, Josh and Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations again on a very successful run. Good of you guys to be involved with this, and we certainly thank you for visiting with us.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right,
thank you very much.
You got it. And that's Josh Crisp. He's a founder and cyclist, as well as the director, Sarah Mitchell, the 1,098-mile bike trip from Knoxville to Daytona Beach.
And just remarkable that they have done some different routes, and yet 1 year to the next, it's just outstanding to see all that goes into it. We'll get a break. The Knoxville Ice Bears take to the home ice tomorrow night as the season begins with an exhibition. So up next, it's our first edition of Slap Shots as President and GM Mike Murray joins us on Sports Talk. Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and we are smack dab in the middle of football season. We are rapidly approaching basketball season, and even faster right here on the landscape starting tomorrow night. It's hockey time on Hockey Top, and we're joined now by the president and GM of the Ice Bears, Mike Murray. Mike, how are you? Mike, you with us? Ah, Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I got you now.
Okay.
I lost you for a second. Hey, nice to be back. It's been a long time.
Well, it has been. There's so much that's gone on since we last spoke. Why don't we start first with the team? You've shaped a new roster. You and Coach Carr, how do you feel about the 2019-2020 Ice Bears?
I tell you, we got 15 guys that returned from a 19-man roster last year that are chomping at the bit just to relinquish some unfinished business that they had from last fall, or last spring, I'm sorry. But we've got 27 bodies in camp. This is day two. The guys are on the ice right now for the two-a-days. This is probably the most competitive camp I've seen. There's so many available bodies coming out of the East Coast Hockey League right now that Jeff and our new assistant coach, Spencer Metcalf, are on the phones all through the night getting guys to come to Knoxville. And it's been a pretty easy sell, the reputation that the community surrounds us with. So it's been great.
Tell us a little more about Spencer and him joining the staff.
Well, you know, I had this moment in my career where you get home after a long, grueling season, and your body tells you something, and it's just, you know, it's that time. It's time to hang him up. And Spencer had I had a meeting with Spencer before he left about his interest in possibly being a coach, and Jeff and I talked about it with my co-owners to see if we could fit it in, and you know, it's a great opportunity for Spencer to learn. He's going to learn from one of the best. Jeff is a relentless recruiter and just, you know, the will and want to win. It's always nice to be too deep in every position that you have in any organization. And, you know, Spencer will be a great backup for Jeff and another set of eyes on the bench. So it's going to be it's already been a learning experience for him just to see the other side of the business in the short time that he's been here. But he's going to be great for our organization.
Mike, tell us about the renovations of the Civic Coliseum.
I tell you what, as soon as we got off the ice, it seemed like the hard hats came on and the noises and the dust. You know, I can't thank the city of Knoxville enough. You know, like I said, we've always boasted that we're second in the league in attendance with, you know, basically in the worst building. It's a 58-year-old building that has seldom been touched as far as renovation goes. So, you know, they've done such a great job. They worked. They were on task. They're on schedule. They got all the things done. $7 million for the hockey side of the Coliseum side, and $3 million for the auditorium side. So, you know, when people walk in the door tomorrow night, it's only an $11 ticket for our exhibition game, but they're going to see some nice new shiny toys. Obviously, our suites along the glass have been improved. High top tables, high top chairs. The new ice floor was always gave me a little bit of a heart attack at times, but they replaced that. So that's state of the art. We have new boards, new glass, that wider glass that people obviously that have suites on the glass, a lot of our corporate partners do, are going to be wowed at that. The prize of all prize for me, the center hanging Jumbotron that I've always been longing for. It's up. It's hanging there. It's beautiful. I check on it every morning when I come to work. It's amazing, and also 70 new bathroom fixtures throughout the Coliseum. So I know we cater to a lot of women and children for marketing, and that's going to be a nice pleasant surprise for them as well.
You mentioned an exhibition match Friday. How many exhibition matches do you have?
Great question. It's fast and furious. Like I said, camp started yesterday. We have an exhibition game tomorrow night at home versus the defending champion Huntsville Havoc. Like I said, tickets in any part of the arena, whether they're on the glass or up top, are $11 only for this game. Then we travel to Huntsville the next day for a 3 o'clock game in their building. And, you know, we have to cut down to our roster next Wednesday. And then we open up opening night here in Knoxville is next Friday. So it's fast and it's a long season, but we're pretty excited about it so far.
Well, it's always exciting just to go through, and you and your staff continue to just knock it out of the park when it comes to promotion nights. How excited are you for all the different nights where people are going to find something, a unique experience, or celebrate something out of this world with the Ice Bears?
Well, yeah, we have our staples, of course, but the league overall, after league meetings, signed We signed a number of trademark deals with like Marvel, Nickelodeon, Peanuts, and Mossy Oak. And so that allows us to partner with them and do some really cool things as well. So, you know, our superhero night's going to be vastly different. Even the jerseys that we wear, but you're right. We love to surround ourselves with our core nucleus, season ticket holders, booster clubs, and corporate partners to a different demographic every night. And our staff has just done a bang up job all summer long preparing. They're excited about these promotions. They're excited to release it to the public. You know, and like I said, a lot of times we don't promote who we're playing. We promote more of what we're doing, and that's what keeps filling the building. So it's going to be amazing.
What's the membership like this year?
Actually, that's great. It's great. We're about to have an event here in about an hour and 15 minutes for them, just for them to come and pick up their season tickets and their season ticket holder gift. And I know I always thank you very much because you donate to the Boys and Girls Club and you buy two season tickets for them, and it's different folks every night. So I appreciate you doing that. But our memberships, our season ticket holders have increased, obviously, and I think it's going to increase even more so once they see all the new things that we're going to do with this center hanging video board. It's going to be such an entertainment piece for us, and not only be able to show a lot of times we will be at capacity this year, and some of those times, you know, we have to sell obstructed seats just the way the building sits. But, you know, we're going to be hitting the replay button a lot. You'll be able to see a great fight, a great goal, or a great hit in replay, and we're pretty excited about that, too. We have a whole new production team that's joined us, our staff, and it's going to be 2.5 hours of amazing fun each and every Ice Bear game.
As you mentioned, you guys have been so fantastic to have such a solid footprint and reach with so many organizations, so many businesses. What's it like with the new video board to be able to reward them for their support of you with even greater return for their investment?
Well, you know, that's an amazing question. And I got to tell you, you know, throughout the summer, it was a hard thing to sell because it wasn't never sitting there. It's never been there before. Just until recently, we've never really been able to walk anybody in, and they're not allowed to take a picture, of course, but actually show them where they're going to be, how their business is going to be exposed in front of 4,000 to 5,000 people captive every night that we play 35 times in a year, and how their business can be a part of it. I mean, Pet Supplies Plus has stepped up in that regard and increased their partnership. They're going to be doing a pup of the game. That's going to be an adoptable pup. That's going to be so cool. Zips Car Wash has stepped up. They're going to do the dirtiest car in the lot. You know, we have the Flex Cam, the Dance Cam, the Simba Cam. All of those things are queued up and ready to go. You know, it's going to be pretty basic tomorrow night, but I mean, for our opening night, our fans are going to see something they've never, ever seen before in this building, and I'm very, very excited about it.
Well, can't wait to see it ourselves. And the exhibition for Knoxville at home is tomorrow night. Then it's Saturday on the road, and then you start the season a week from tomorrow, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like I said, it's so exciting down there now. The guys are jumping. One thing that you'll notice, too, and sometimes it's just the little things that are improvements, but one thing we never had in our building is something called marsh pegs. And if you're a hockey person, you probably know what marsh pegs are. But marsh pegs, and I know you do, John, but marsh pegs are what holds the nets in place. And they're actually holes into the concrete that they, you know, they have rubber pipes that come up and break away, but the net does not move. We've never had that before. We've always had major delays in all of our games because the goalies, when they slide across to make a save, the net comes off. So just the little things. And also, you know, I've always said that our ice surface is 185 by 85 when a regular ice surface is 200 by 85. What some fans will notice this year, too, is the neutral zones have been brought in a little bit. So the blue lines have been brought in. So the neutral zone's a little bit shorter, but the end zones are of regulation now. So there'll be more room behind the net, more room to you know, execute power plays and such. So sometimes, like I said, it's just the little things, but couldn't be more excited, couldn't be more grateful and thankful to the city for realizing what the Knoxville Ice Bears do for this community and want to keep us here. I just signed a new 5-year lease with the city, so we're vested, we're committed, And like I said, hopefully throughout the season, unlike any other season, we'll be selling more corporate partnerships as a result of all the new bells and whistles that people will be here to see.
Well, we just recently had the special that you could go to, the great deal that folks can still take advantage of at sportsradiownml.com. And so hopefully they'll do that for the 10-pack of tickets. And, of course, if somebody had yet to make that reach for their tickets, whether it be group or season or otherwise, what? How do they get them?
They can just simply go to icebears.com, call the front office. Our staff is buzzing right now. Obviously, with a game tomorrow night, like I said, it's like having 3,000 to 4,000 people over for dinner. You know, our small staff is just is getting ready. We're all excited to showcase the class of 2019-2020 of Ice Bears, and there's a bunch of guys down there that want to be an Ice Bear, and it's going to be a battle to earn positions for sure. So we're excited. I know the fans are excited, and always appreciate the time that I have with you guys.
Well, congratulations on all the improvements for the franchise from the end of last season to the start of this one. Hope the folks in Sarnia are doing quite well. And, Mike, we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Guys, thanks so much. Always a pleasure. We'll see you, and go Ice Bears.
All right, thank you. And that's Mike Murray, President and GM of the Ice Bears. And you can still take advantage of that sweet deal by going to sportsradiownml.com. A final segment to hour number two of Sports Talk is next.
The station where winners listen and listeners win. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
A final segment to hour number two of Sports Talk with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. It's Rivalry Thursday. We're here at Gatlinburg Pittman, where tonight it's the Highlanders against Austin East. We're brought to you by OEB Law as well as Matlock Tire, and it's always fun to say hello to Joe Matlock. Joe, how are you? Joe, you with us? Joe, are you there?
Hey, guys, I can hear you. Sorry about that. I think the phone cut out there for a second.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry about that. We seem to be having a couple of flies in the ointment, but it's always fun. We've hit the home stretch. Some teams have four games remaining. Some even have perhaps three, but it's always fun when it actually starts to feel a little bit like football weather, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. I remember going up to the first game at Powell, seems like last week, but man, it's flown by. The season's been great. We have really, really enjoyed being partners with you guys for the first time here on this. And yeah, I hate to see it go, but they're going to enjoy these last few weeks for sure.
Joe, we've seen some nice settings for high school football, but there aren't many better than Gatlinburg Pittman. You're sitting here surrounded by the Smoky Mountains. It's a beautiful view on a very sunny afternoon for high school football. A great scene.
Yes. I never got to play there in high school, but I've been to the stadium. It's gorgeous up there in the mountains, and I mean, you couldn't ask for a better view. You're exactly right, Jimmy, for sure.
Well, and your support of high school football, I know that you and your dad enjoyed a lot from Matlock Tires, and just talk about how often you get a chance to watch high school football games.
Yeah, we try and make it to one every weekend. Usually go to different ones. I went to the Hardin Valley and Bearden game last weekend. I can't remember which one he went to, but we always try to make it to one or two of them. Just really enjoy getting out. There's no better way to be a part of the community. You've got rivalry, camaraderie, passionate fans. It's just high school football is hard to beat. We love it.
Joe, you and your family do such a great job. Not only are you set up with a number of locations to help folks throughout East Tennessee, but you guys fully embrace being a part of so many different communities that you serve along the way with your support of not only high school athletics, but also first responders, the military, you name it. What's going on? How are things going with the Hardin Valley location?
Yeah, so we're progressing. There was a couple delays that we ran into, but I think we've gotten through that. So we are on track as far as the construction goes. So we're really excited to get that going and get that underway, because it's a great community out there. We have a lot of customers that are there already that hopefully we can get closer to, as well as drawing some new ones, which is a big reason we wanted to be at the Hardin Valley game last week and really enjoyed getting to meet a lot of new folks, as well as seeing some current customers. So that was a blast.
And, Joe, for those that don't know, your Matlock Tire is more than just a place that sells tires, isn't it?
Absolutely, Jimmy. Thank you. We're full service. We really want to be your complete auto stop for everything you need. We're really excited about our new website, which lists our services, where you can schedule appointments, you can shop our inventory, all without leaving the couch. So you can do that from a smartphone or a computer. So still working a few of the glitches out on that, but it's been a big success so far. We're really excited to move forward with the new website and get everything more convenient for our customers.
Joe, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for your sponsorship, and we hope folks will enjoy this weekend of high school football.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have fun up there in Gatlinburg.
Thank you, Joe. Joe Matlock, Matlock Tires.
We'll get a break. Up next, hour number three of Sports Talk. It'll be Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. That's next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.